You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to another thrilling edition of Toilet Radio. If this is your first show, what we do for you here is we offer you metal-related diversions that make your commute suck just a little bit less. We interview artists, we talk about news, we discuss the history of this genre you all know and love, and we make a lot of jokes. Really, the show is just about the jokes. If this is your 100th episode, thanks for sticking with us. If you like what we do here, you can hear more episodes by subscribing to our Patreon and getting bonus shows. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and get started. I am Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my co-host 365 Days of Horror and Brennicide. How's it going, fellas?
It's going good, man. How are you doing, Jordan?
It is going well.
We're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to enter a world where not everything is as it seems. You'll hear stories that may or may not be true. Some of these came from the band themselves. Some of these might have originated at a lunch table around a round of Fruitopias and Cheetos. We're talking about hoaxes and urban legends in the world of metal. How does that sound, fellas?
I am so stoked. Can't you hear it?
Let me do a little scene setting for you, okay? It's roughly 11:45 a.m. We are all sitting together at a lunch table that is oddly sticky. We're not quite sure what it's sticky with. There are fried cheese sticks in front of us and chicken tendies. We all have ice-cold chalky milks. Now, what have you fellas heard about that band? Let me go ahead and tell you what my cousin told me about Marilyn Manson. You guys won't believe this one. He got a rib removed so he could suck his own dick. Isn't that crazy?
I damn near just dropped my peanut butter and fluff in my wax paper package.
I think that one was universal. Every school child
across wax.
The wax paper? Yeah. No, yeah. Not so much of the wax paper, but I think every school child our age heard the story about Marilyn Manson removing a rib to suck his own dick. Now, I'm not a doctor nor a yogi, so I can't speak to the intricacies of how that actually works, but I don't think if you remove a rib, you're going to be able to just suddenly magically be able to slob your own knob. What do you think?
I feel like it's like a flexibility of spine thing. Also, the big question is which rib and why does it matter? If he only had one removed, I guess, like, would he just be leaning over the left side if it was a left rib? I don't really quite get the anatomy.
I mean, if he's like hanging at a certain angle, maybe that one rib is the thing that's in the way. But yeah, I think you're right. It's probably more of a mobility challenge with your spine rather than with your ribs.
Right. and I mean, guys take yoga. They can do it. It's like we saw in the Saturday Night Live episode, what with Will Ferrell up in his pants there. That was a good one.
Wait, what?
You don't remember the Saturday Night Live skit where Will Ferrell was in yoga and he just had his head in his pants the whole time?
I remember.
Finally do it.
No, I don't. But that's lovely.
Worth a search.
Do you buy it, Jordan? Do you think that he was able to pull it off?
I can't believe we're spend more than 2 seconds on this. No, I do not think he had the surgery performed, nor do I think he was able to fellatiate himself.
Fellatiate. Great word. Yeah, I wonder why it is that for some reason this was the rumor that spread everywhere. The urban legend of Marilyn Manson.
My guess would be that, like, this is right around the time, like, the internet started to really come into, I guess, fashion. Just more people had it, especially for people around our age. It was, I guess, easier to communicate and go into chat rooms and whatever and just spread these sort of weird stories.
And I guess, what is it about that particular... You know what? I think I'm done with Marilyn Manson's dick. Besides, we all know that,
You're pushing the plate away. You've had enough.
I'm not done with his dick. I'm not. I heard... When I was in, middle school, some kid on the bus told me that he... Because I said I liked him. I liked his music. My friend was like, what? He's crazy. He, had sex with a chicken on stage. Hmm. And I was just amazed because I did have the internet and I tried to find something out and I didn't. But what I did find out is that he probably got it confused with the Alice Cooper chicken incident.
Yes, that noted chicken fucker. Alice Cooper.
Where, I mean, he didn't fuck a chicken, but he had one tragically killed at one of his shows because – goddamn City Slicker thought a chicken could fly.
Yeah, I don't know exactly all of the particulars, but for some reason a chicken showed up on stage at an Alice Cooper performance. And because the dude is from inner city Detroit, he decided the best way to get it out of there was to toss it, so it would, move its little wings and fly off, as chickens famously do.
Right. Yeah, and then the people said that Alice Cooper killed it on stage, which didn't happen. He threw it, and then when it got in the crowd just, ferociously ripped it apart.
Well, I mean, depending on how far he threw it, he might have been, the element that was directly responsible for this. He was responsible. Okay, and first of all, I think we need to preface this act, unlike the rib removal, this actually happened.
Yeah, there's video footage of this.
So, right. If you want to see some PETA unapproved footage, go check that out.
Yeah, I guess what I'm more bringing up is how it's interesting how people mix up artists and things that occurred to a point. Because Marilyn Manson is weird, and so is Alice Cooper, and they do wacky stage stuff. So somebody just somehow mishmashed all the weird sexual urban legends with Marilyn Manson with the violence towards chickens facts with Alice Cooper, and somehow ended up with Marilyn Manson fucks chickens on stage.
I mean, the line of lineage between the two is obvious. I can picture Alice Cooper saying, "Don't ever talk to me or my son ever again," as they as they both my had, son,
this is my Marilyn. Son Brian. Yeah,
Brian. That was the kid in the Wonder Years, right?
Yeah, right, Brian Warner. That was it. That must be it. It's on IMDb and everything.
Another underappreciated Marilyn Manson urban legend, of course, is that he was Paul from the Wonder Years, that Milhouse-looking kid that was the main character's friend. What is the deal with bird-related violence in metal? Because it wasn't just Alice Cooper that was responsible for that poor bird's death. There was another as well. Jordan, what was that guy's name?
A little-known heavy metal artist named Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a dove during a board meeting with record executives.
Right, and that's true. That happened, we've been told.
Why ask why? Who knows why a chicken flies or an Aussie bites the head off of a dove. I mean, it's not just the dove either. He also bit the head off of a bat live in concert. I believe a real one, and then later with fake ones.
Yeah, there's been back and forth, I guess, the further out we get from the actual event about whether it was ever a real bat or it's always been real bats or it's always been fake. The first time it happened, I'm pretty sure it was a real bat.
Yeah, and there was a lot of murky details over whether the bat was alive or already dead or conscious, and just, I don't know. I always thought the bat thing didn't happen. I thought it was just the people mixing up a dove story with, Ozzy Osbourne's a big goth guy, so it must have been a bat or something. I had no idea he actually did this until we started looking into it. But, I guess he either did it, but fake, real, alive, dead, stoned bat, who knows?
Well... just a little local tidbit for you guys. Austin has a lot of bats. We've got a huge bat population. And as such, you'll see signs everywhere warning people, do not touch the bats if you see a bat. Apparently, you can pick up all kinds of nasty illnesses from them. So as cute as they are, and they are everywhere, and as much as I want to touch a bat, you're not supposed to. So,
right.
The next time South by Southwest comes around, you should just open a Touch the Bat booth on the main street.
Yeah.
And just, you know, make bank, and then those people catch nasty bat diseases.
They're literally vermin that took flight. It's the worst thing ever.
I don't have any ill will towards bats. They're perfectly fine. They eat insects. They're kind of cute, aside from the disgusting leathery wings. I wouldn't eat the head off of one out of spite.
Yeah, what with the rabies and such?
That too. I mean, that too.
If it was you or a bat, who would win?
Right. It's like if rabies were up in the air. I'll tell you what. Would you rather fight a bat-sized Danzig or 100? Whatever. Let's move on.
That Ozzy Osbourne fella, he seemed to, you know, just trouble seemed to follow him everywhere, you know?
Yeah, he has a weird history with animals, because there's another urban legend that also involves Motley Crue. During the 80s, they toured together, and the story goes that both Ozzy and members of Motley Crue, I think it might have been Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee, were having like a gross-out competition throughout the tour. Like, they wouldn't bathe, they wouldn't, you know, general hygiene, and then through some sort of drug-induced debauchery, they had the gross-off escalated into, I think, Ozzy and possibly someone from Motley Crue snorting fire ants.
You know, the logistics of that seem a little murky to me. But furthermore, the idea of, like, having a gross-out competition with your colleagues on the road, is it something that would immediately appeal to a 10-year-old's brain?
Right. Yeah. Usually these guys didn't develop beyond that sort of thing. They just, you know, they started playing music when they were 16, and it's just been that way ever since.
So that's the thing. Like, half of this is, like, obviously that's just something some dumb children made up. You know, these our favorite artists are having a gross out competition, but you know what? But they are possibly immature enough that actually happened.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think they did. I think they had an interview on VH1 where Motley Crue members, could have been Ozzy, could have been Motley Crue members, but they were talking about doing it. So I think that's where it originated. I think it really happened. I think Ozzy snorted fire ants because he's just that crazy and he's been just that high.
You ever been bitten by a fire ant?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it's really deeply unpleasant. I don't think that my
recommend it.
Sinus cavities could handle it. I Jordan, you're famously straight edge, but I don't know. Would you break eggs for fire ants?
I'm gonna have to say no there, buddy.
I feel like fire ant poison is like an outside substance, and that would not be edge. Still,
well, the thing is, you know, Ozzy was famously very much high on cocaine throughout the 80s.
Right.
Wouldn't that just kind of numb him up to any sort of pain that a fire ant would get? Or would it just get the fire ants really high?
My next point was cocaine is a hell of a drug, so I believe it all.
Another Ozzy-related urban legend, I guess you could say, comes from the Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, where he was interviewed in, it looked like his kitchen, making breakfast. And there's a scene where he's pouring orange juice, and his hand is shaking so bad the juice is missing the glass.
I recall this. It's one of my favorite scenes in one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, apparently that didn't actually happen. It was edited in by the director, and it was someone else's hand doing it.
I have never felt more fucking betrayed than I feel right now. Because, I mean, he's clearly stuttering and slurring. He's not all there. And it didn't seem necessary to add that extra little flourish, the fake news that Penelope Spheeris added in.
Right.
And it's one of the most memorable scenes in the entire movie, too.
Aside from Chris Holmes?
Chris Holmes in the pool with his vodka.
Drunk as fuck in front of his mother.
Yeah. There you go. Doesn't get more rock and roll than that.
That's sad. I can't believe he's still alive.
He'll outlive us all. He'll be one of those people that lives till 90.
Still alive and selling shit on Craigslist like his iRoxy or whatever it was.
Hell yeah, brother. That thing gets all the chicks.
Right. Still does.
And Ozzy never really stopped, I guess, generating controversy right up until he did the Family Dad thing with VH1 and the Osbournes. Back in like the 80s, he got himself in some hot water for legally a bunch of families sued Ozzy and CBS because they claimed that their children killed themselves after listening to his album Suicide Solution. There were three separate cases, one in California, one in Georgia, and one in New Jersey. The California case was dismissed before coming to a trial because the court ruled that the lyrics were protected by free speech provisions in the First Amendment. The Georgia case, as of the 1990 edition of the New York Times that I'm reading, has yet to be decided, so we'll figure out what happened with that one. And eventually it was ruled that heavy metal was not the deciding factor in the New Jersey case. Shocking.
Right. Now, was there argument that there was like subliminal messages to the music, or was there actually something going on in the lyrics that they were saying caused the kids to kill themselves?
Well, this was a little bit more direct. They were claiming that Ozzy was convincing children to worship Satan with his satanic image. Right. And the lyrics in Suicide Solution were a direct call to action to for these disaffected youths to end their lives. But you are on the right track with another beloved heavy metal act leading people to suicide with secret subliminal messages. Jordan, you were talking about this before the show. You wanna share with us?
Yeah, another big one with the subliminal messages is Judas Priest with the song Better By You, Better By Me. They actually went to trial in 1990 after two teenagers committed suicide, and I think they were listening to the song when they did it. And like, there's footage of Rob Halford explaining the song, and I think the prosecutor playing the music backwards, trying to say that the song is saying "do it" over and over again and get the gun. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So it seems unlikely that was the factor that led these children to kill themselves. But I don't know. Maybe. Do you think Rob Halford was intending for the young male youths of America to kill themselves, or do you think that maybe he's trying to get a different hidden message across with?
I mean,
leather daddy outfits and turbo leather lyrics.
I think he had a different message, and also dead kids don't buy albums, so it seems kind of counterintuitive. I could be anybody's defense lawyer in this shit.
I found the prosecuting lawyer's statement on this. Kenneth McKenna, who I'm sure was just a delightful person to be around. He said, Judas Priest and CBS pander this stuff to alienated teenagers. The members of the chess club, the math and the science majors, they don't listen to this stuff. It's the dropouts, the drug and alcohol abusers. So our argument is that you have a duty to be more cautious when you're dealing with a population susceptible to this stuff. So there you go, Benz. Don't unintentionally record a lyric that might be played backwards and be suspect.
Yo, I bet a bunch of chess club dudes were into that shit.
How do you think that they decided that this subliminal message was what stuffed shirt was actually going through and listening backwards to all of these records to try to find something?
Probably some poor paralegal motherfucker in an office somewhere just doing his very damnedest, you know?
It reminds me, like we were talking about the decline of Western civilization, there's a scene with, I think she's a high school principal, talking about how the devil horns has a 666 in it. And she's like, if you look at this finger over here, it's a 6. And then there's another one. She's like, people will see whatever they want in order to get whatever they want.
Oh, I see it now. See, if you look at it on the left, it's a 6. And you look on the right, it's a 6. And then when you take your hands and spread it apart, you have 6 fingers, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
When you put it up your ass. Now, you guys have seen the hidden satanic messages on cans of Monster Energy drink, right?
No.
you guys don't spend enough time in the weird conservative circles on Facebook as I do, I guess. But
why are you spending time in the conservative circles on Facebook?
You gotta know your enemy, bud.
I guess so.
To own noobs.
To own the libs. No, it's apparently some very strange, very religious people have determined that Monster, again, the clue there is in the name of it. It actually has these Israeli symbols for Satan on them. So there you go. Not only can you get the energy you need to, you know, snowboard all day with Oakleys or whatever the fuck it is people who drink that shit do, you love the energy to worship the Dark Lord all night, too.
You'll literally be running with the devil.
Yeah. something like that. What else have you guys heard around the grapevine, around the lunch table? What rumors did you hear about?
Ooh, let's see. Well, this was brought to my attention. A lot of people seem to be under the impression that the black metal band back in the day, but not even remotely anymore, the band Ulver, when they produced the album Nines Madrigal, I can't pronounce that, and I'm not going to pretend like I did it properly. The big rumor is that they recorded it all out in the forest with like an 8-track recorder, and that's why it sounds as like totally bad as it sounds. Some people say that they spent all their advance on like some nice suits to get photos of themselves in it or something, like all sorts of crazy stories. But there's like nothing to back this up whatsoever. And the frontman Garm has like actually denied it. But everybody loves to say it. It reminds me of the story of how the band Sleep.
Whoa. The guy's name is Garm, right?
Yeah.
That's what it says. He spent on expensive suits, garments. Okay.
Right.
You seeing the circle that I'm drawing? Yeah. Yeah. No, that's totally. I mean, granted, Ulver, their recent output is very much like. It sounds like Tears for Fears to me, or something like that. So it's pretty far removed from black metal origins. But it seems a little far fetched to think that any self respecting black metal band would spend their sweet hard earned black metal dough on suits rather than, I don't know, cloaks, medieval weaponry,
like paint,
paint, yeah. What, torches. Those don't grow on trees.
For sure. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah, you gotta stay sharp if you want to keep up with old Joe Thrash and Kill.
So the blowing their advance story reminds me of a very true story of the band Sleep, where they got this sweet cash advance to record their album. And they decided to blow the grand majority of it on purchasing marijuana and smoking it. And so then they kind of rushed to throw something together. And that's how Dope Smoker was performed. It was just a 1-hour session of just throwing this music together. And that's what they gave the studio, or rather that's what they gave the record label. And then they said, we don't want a tour either. And then that was pretty much it for them. Record label wasn't happy.
So to be clear, that's an urban legend, but it's also probably incredibly true.
What, with Sleep?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they like confirmed it. Like they've told the story themselves in like a movie about them, like a documentary.
It's fantastic.
So it really happened. And I guess Dope Smoker wasn't released until recently because the label refused to, because of how much they just kind of fucked over the label with that. So there you go. It's a little bit of history for you guys that I didn't have a good grasp on, but I told it anyway.
It reminds me, I put together this long piece on anal cunt a while ago.
Oh, yeah. Keep coming up.
You know, getting aside from the politics of that band, I think it's fun to note that there were plenty of urban legends surrounding them as well. Their fifth release for Earache, I believe it was I Like It When You Die, it sounds like shit. And it was their, I believe, their last album on Earache. It was supposedly their their biggest advance to date because they had done so many records with the label. And it sounds so much worse than all the other ones. Digging around, I found confirmed that the reason that it sounds so bad is Josh Barton, the former guitarist of the band, says that Seth Putnam, the vocalist of Anal Cunt, of course, spent most of the advance on cocaine with his wife, ex-wife Allison, and he saved a little bit of course. He went to a professional studio and recorded his vocals in a couple of hours, and he made the rest of the band record the drums and guitars in Seth's mom's basement.
I just like that it was him and his ex-wife. It just is an extra layer of tragedy on, like, the story of addiction, you know? As a couple, they're failing together.
You know, if you can't have hobbies with your significant other.
Well, he had the fake black metal side band Impaled Northern Moon Forest, and didn't they just record, like, in his mom's basement, slapping on their thighs for drums?
A reader of Toilet of Hell said that it was actually in his buddy's kitchen in Alston, Massachusetts, I believe. Is that the right name, Bruno?
Alston.
Alston.
Yeah, Alston, Texas.
we have nothing but names that you can't pronounce. That's how we roll.
Worcester.
Worcester.
Worcester. That's the one.
No, it's not, but it's
okay. What else have you guys heard? Because, I mean, like, I've heard so many dumb things over the years that I can't really keep straight what's real and what's not.
There's a black metal band known as Silencer, and this guy is pretty much just like a heap of just bullshit stories.
Ooh, so, yes. Jordan, you were talking a little bit about this. I would say this one falls firmly in the urban legend and hoax camp. It's both combined. What did you hear about it?
So Silencer is a Swedish black metal band, or was a Swedish black metal band. They're not, well, I assume they're still Swedish, but they're not a band anymore. Specifically,
so they're still Swedish.
You're born Swedish, you die Swedish.
I can't prove they were Swedish. I don't know. But their vocalist, Natural, has a whole bunch of ridiculous urban legend stories about him. I encourage everyone to just do a Google image search of this guy. I think there's maybe two or three pictures of him, and you might notice something a little off about his hands. The urban legend is that he cut his hands off. I assume he chopped one off halfway and then had the strength to cut off the other one halfway.
No,
and then just kind of shook them until they fell off.
I'll tell you what he did in a second.
And then he, with his stumps, I assume, somehow attached pig's feet onto his hands and now has pig feet hands.
Oh, man. What he did was he cut one hand off and then with his good hand did the work. And then obviously with his little pig hoof, he did the other side.
So when you look at
hand now.
When you look at these pictures, I mean, his arms are obviously hilariously gigantic because where his actual hands are is tape.
Right.
To cover them up and then to like hold the little pig hoofs on.
Yeah, it's really strange that where he had sewn the pig's foot onto his wrist, there's like a hand-shaped bandage between the hoof and his wrist. So something to behold.
Another one for this guy is that he either attempted to or did in fact murder a child on a playground with an axe.
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems a little unlikely, but, you know, black metal is not totally strange or alien to weirdos in the genre going up and murdering a completely innocent person, is the case with Dissection and Nordvite.
Yeah.
Hey, that's just a Tuesday in Stockholm. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, right. And apparently he tried to commit suicide by police during the axe incident. And apparently he's institutionalized, maybe not.
Is suicide by police a thing in, like, the Nordic countries? Because do their cops just, like, wave around AKs and shoot dogs with impunity? Or is that just us?
No, I think that's just us. I think in Sweden, they're like, all right, boys, go home. Knock it off.
USA.
That's sweet. Enough, fellas. Go home.
So how did all this shit get spread around? Like, in the case of the Pigsfoot thing, like, those were promotional promotional photographs for the band.
Yeah, I believe everything that has been told about this band, this guy himself perpetuated. I think that's just how it is.
It almost like it's like a really extreme version of all the nu metal vocalists that were all their lyrics were like, "Watch out, man! I'm crazy. I hold my guitar at an extreme angle."
Extremely low angle.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's like this band is so underground and so not known. I don't know how anyone would care enough to spread rumors. I'm pretty sure it was just this guy by himself.
Well, I guess there's been a lot of black metal message boards throughout the internet's existence. I blame every one of them for spreading more of these details.
Right. I'll concede that. Lots of idiots in those too. Can you believe it?
No.
What? This doesn't sound like black metal fans. What?
Black metal dorks on the internet?
What do they think of next?
I know, it's a crazy world we're living in. I thought they were all geniuses.
Have you ever listened to Silencer, by the way?
I wanted to, because we were doing the show. I think if we can find a clip, we should play it.
Yeah, we'll do that. I wanted to add this little tidbit about the band for no reason other than I think it's funny, is that the band logo, if you didn't know anything about the band and you just saw the logo on a bill, you would assume that it was like some kind of 80s hair metal band.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up too, is that it's just it has this ridiculous logo. Very amateurish, very, I don't know. I don't want to say Man of War because there's a lot. It's like Def Leppard sharpness,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I see the logo and I hear like the early Pantera songs, like when they were still a hair metal band.
Right, pretty much.
Well, it's hard to draw when you have pig's feet.
Ooh, good point. If you could replace your hands with an animal's hands, what would you go for?
Shark mouth.
Shark mouth for hand. That'd be, points.
I would have an octopus tentacle on one hand and then just a full-size complete bear on the other.
Ooh. Now that's creative. You're doing double animal there.
Yeah, I could just ride it to work.
I'd want like a crab claw on one hand, you know, picking things up. And the other one, monkey's foot.
Believe it or not, the hands you already have are a lot more efficient for that sort of thing. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Than a posable appendage?
Than the claw hand just slipping things away.
Yeah, but you ever see a monkey's foot? They can grab everything with that, man.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I mean, it's... Never mind. We can talk about the evolution of primates at time, but a monkey's foot is actually what's on your wrist, so enjoy that. You made it. You did it. You don't have to do any, you know, the expensive surgery that this guy did. Clearly.
I have questions about that surgical process, a lot of them. But we don't have to focus
healthcare,
on that.
Healthcare over there is free, so why not?
Oh, shit. That's all those socialists getting their free healthcare to replace their hands with pig hooves and children that are hit with axes on playgrounds. They get free healthcare, too.
I'm bringing this into the next meeting at Congress.
Yeah.
We're going to figure this out.
Is this the paradise you want, Bernie Sanders? Go back to Venezuela. Yeah, there we go.
Look at what happens when Antifa gets what they want.
I posed this question on Twitter. I asked people like, hey, what's your favorite hope or urban legend that you've heard about a band? And I got some really interesting replies. Andy O'Connor told me that he heard that Danny Filth of Cradle of Filth is blind.
Explains a lot. as far as how he dresses himself.
Yeah, if you've ever seen the guy and his many aesthetic choices, that would make a lot of sense.
Right.
And adding on to that, Sarah Sepinek, she said, that would actually explain the story my Scottish friend told me about Danny Filth. He got his ass kicked in Glasgow for jumping the line at a bar. Maybe he cut the line because he was blind. He didn't see all the people lined up there.
Right.
That sounds like a hate crime.
Yeah.
Is it a hate crime when you beat up a blind guy?
If you're beating him up because he's blind.
I've got a lot of apologies to make.
Right. Is it a hate crime to beat up Danny Filth, though? Brings some new questions to the table.
I was trying to beat up Bam Margera, who is for some reason always hanging out with them, and I swung and accidentally hit Danny Filth.
That's right. I punched down too low for some reason.
He hangs out with him. He doesn't hang out with Cradle of Filth, does he?
I could be wrong here, but I could have sworn that he also hangs out with the guy from you know what? I'm talking out of my ass here. I'm gonna Google it. You guys keep talking.
No, this is the start of a new urban legend that Bam Margera hangs out with Danny Phil, and they get into fights at bars.
Well, don't okay. Because I know that.
No. Okay, it was totally on an episode of Viva La Bam. There was, for some reason, a Cradle of Filth concert. He was hanging out with those dudes. I'm seeing pictures.
Yeah, no, he was hanging out with them. I remember that same episode.
Oh, my God, this picture. I've got a picture of him. Danny Filth is wearing a mesh shirt, and they're both doing duck face. It's great.
Mesh shirts. Mm-hmm. He's blind.
Yep.
It's true. It's just what it is. Otherwise, he would never put that on.
A little bit like Danny Filth, he looks kind of like a childlike version with 10% more hair of Kronos.
I got an interesting one about Kronos that came up in a thread.
What do you hear?
Apparently he's related to Kate Middleton. That's an urban legend that people legitimately believe.
Got that five head.
That's right. That's what it is. Let's see. Kate Middleton. Let's see.
Does that, all right. Does that, okay. Does that make Kronos royalty?
And then, yeah. Well, I always thought Kronos was royal anyway. He's royalty. Like a,
makes him a duke or a viscount or something like that.
Royale with cheese.
I just want to note that if you type Kronos into Google image search, you're just going to get the character from God of War. You're not going to get our boy from Venom.
Kratos, not to be confused with Kratom.
Oh, man. He's got like a 666 head. Kronos. Fuck, man.
Strong. I've heard from multiple people, including a number of prominent publications, that Andrew W.K. is actually a character that's been played by multiple people throughout the years. This is a conspiracy theory that goes pretty deep, it seems. People have done the yeoman's work over the years of comparing side-by-side pictures of a guy that looks like he is, I don't know, aged. But you know what? I buy it, because that makes life more fun. I believe it. If we ever get him on the show, we'll talk about it.
Definitely. Any more juicy ones on that particular Twitter thread there?
Ooh, yeah, I got a real spicy one here. There is an urban legend that Varg Vikernes killed Euronymous in self-defense.
That's the silliest one yet.
We all know kids get up to silly shit when they're telling tall tales to each other. So that's definitely one of them.
Great.
You guys hear anything?
Earlier in the show, we had kind of brought up how goofy and childish bands are when they're on tour with each other. Apparently, Dan Nelson of Anthrax, he was kicked out of the band only like a few months after being with them. But
So he came on for, was it that one record you were telling us about last show?
No, I don't think he actually recorded a record with them. I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was John Bush.
I think he recorded, but they just scrapped it, so they didn't release any music.
That's what happened. He was such a piece of shit. We'll get to that later. That they took that out. But
foreshadowing,
teaser,
teaser, teaser. some sort of Boom Boom related incidents occurred on a tour bus with Dan Nelson and the band. One story says that he took a dump on bassist Frank Bello. And then another story says that the band hated him so much that they told him to poop in a bag instead of poop in the tour bus toilet. And he went on the toilet anyway. And the band was so incensed by this that they kicked him out right then and there.
I mean, either way, this is really funny. And I'd like to believe that there's a kernel of truth to everybody's story.
Shit.
So, at some point in the lineage of the story, poop came into play, which makes me really want to believe it. What do you think?
I think he shat on Frank Bello, and they told him to put it in a bag to get rid of it, and then he took it and just dumped it in the toilet in the back, and they were not happy about that. Because how the fuck do you get those different stories?
I've heard so many stories of man children and bands doing stupid things on tour. I've heard multiple stories about dudes peeing on each other, like in the van, which is a thing that I think I would immediately go Varg Vikernes on these guys if they ever did that to me.
What drive the van out off a cliff?
Yeah, Jesus.
But why would you poop on a person? The people are not shaped for pooping.
My favorite touring band urban legend we see every month is when a band says, "Hey, we got our stuff broken into. We need money, please."
Ooh.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I believe it. Sending again, my PayPal towards you.
I'm just saying, if you're losing money on a tour and you're not seeing a way out, maybe something conveniently got pawned.
Okay. I'll just do one more, and then we'll go to Jordan or move on. One of my favorite internet urban legends regarding a rock musician or metal musician, depending on how you think of him, Glenn Danzig. A couple years ago, there was a text message back and forth between friends where one of his neighbors had discussed that he keeps very poor care of his house. Like, I guess his house is really dilapidated and it's just like an eyesore for the community. And apparently there was just a big stack of bricks outside his home. And I guess one of the neighbors went up to complain to him about it. And then later in the day, when his friend was texting him, he was saying that that same day Danzig had gotten a dumpster and was like swearing and calling everybody motherfuckers and like hurling bricks loudly into the side of a dumpster while he was cleaning this up. And I guess the internet did the research and like went on things like Google Maps or went by his house to take pictures. And there was indeed a stack of bricks in front of his home. And there was also the very, very nice Jaguar that was in his driveway that was mentioned in this story. So I think this one ended up being true.
I believe that Danzig would not take the best care of his home, because he's too busy doing Danzig things, you know, eating hamburgers and chicken soup, and not performing concerts when he should be performing them.
Do you think that's why he has to get so much cat litter? Is because he's like a hoarder and he's got like 50 cats in there?
I never considered that before now, but yes, I absolutely hoards cats.
I'm
glad. Makes so much sense.
Yeah, but you don't need a box that big, fella. Jeez.
Well, new urban legend for you. Glenn Danzig hoards cats.
Definitely confirmed.
Confirmed. Jordan, did you hear anything else that just tickled your fancy?
Building off the Andrew WK one, one I've heard and I kind of really want to believe is that Dave Grohl really died and he was replaced with a Dave Grohl doppelganger.
Ooh. He does look different now. You can't explain that.
I don't think he looks different. I think he looks exactly the same. I think he looks 90s plus beard.
That's the thing. He's got a beard and long hair now. He didn't have that before. Can't explain that.
Right. So
I really like the first three Foo Fighters albums. Like, I think they're some of the last great, like, alternative rock albums that have been put out.
Now, that's a controversy. I'm just kidding.
We could save that for another show.
That's okay. Go on.
So after their third album, There's Nothing Left to Lose, the band went on a break and eventually put out their album, I think, One by One. And it's kind of like an album that's all over the place and doesn't really fit in with like the rest of the music they originally put out. And part of the reasoning that the band has said is that because their drummer, Taylor Hawkins, he had an overdose and ended up going to the hospital and came out of it. The theory is that it was actually Dave Grohl who overdosed and died. But because the band was still making a lot of money and doing well, they brought someone else in who looks like him and sort of sounds like him. And that's why the band shifted sounds to more fit in with this new guy's vocal capabilities. And they started putting out, you know, dad rock arena anthems. Aww. And why, you know, he's always trying to be cool dad Dave Grohl, hanging out with metalheads and trying to do cool things.
It all makes sense now. He's been trying to tell us all along. What if I say I'm not like the others?
Oh, the clue was right in front of us the whole time. He played us like a damn fiddle.
Shit.
That plays directly into a very related urban legend that I've heard that I believe fully. So we all remember that band Nirvana, right?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
The guy, and this is a true thing that happened. The guy from Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, he died. It's famously reported that he killed himself. But what if it wasn't actually suicide and it was instead foul play? There is an urban legend that I am very fond of that says that Kurt Cobain, who was a member, says that Dave Grohl, who was of course a member of Nirvana at the time, conspired with Courtney Love, Kurt Cobain's girlfriend at the time, to murder Kurt. And they took his stash of songs that he had written that hadn't been released yet. And that they split it up right down the middle. That's why the first two Foo Fighters records and the first two Hole records are so good, because they murdered a guy and they took his songs.
His songs that sound nothing like any of the stuff he had previously written.
Like, do you think Monkey Wrench was just a Nirvana song written in a major key or something? Let's turn that frown upside down and we'll make it a song.
Yeah, Kurt was just hanging on to Big Me. Like, this is he was sketching out ideas for the music video. It was going to parody the Mentos commercials of the day. He's like,
right,
this will be a fun lark. Everybody's going to love after that downer of a last record.
Everyone knows how much fun I am.
Right. Maybe that's why they killed him. They didn't want him to be. They didn't want to ruin his legacy.
Yeah, he was going to make a face turn, they wanted to take it for themselves jealously. So
they were right, though. They should have done it. It's a good idea. Now the guy's a legend. Otherwise, he would have ended up like Billy Corgan. And
when we last checked in on Billy Corgan, he was
an old Billy.
Guesting on Alex Jones' show, and I think buying a wrestling league. I don't know. You guys might have heard
about that. He tried.
Oh, yeah, he was on Alex Jones, but, you know, he did some cool stuff, too, like go on Joe Rogan's show right after.
Fuck. He refers to himself as William instead of Billy now?
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I wish I was.
It's like Jonathan Davis all over again.
Maybe he was tired of being confused with the Garfield guy.
Jim Davis.
All right, that wasn't. I didn't really plan. Okay, never mind. going into a hoax that I wasn't super familiar with until very recently, when someone told me about this on Twitter. Have you guys ever heard of Velvet Cocoon?
No, I don't think so.
Before this, we were researching for this. I had not at all.
Okay, so Velvet Cocoon was a super occult black metal band from the late 90s and the early 2000s. Where were they? The band released some music on Full Moon Productions. If you guys aren't familiar, they're super misanthropic underground black metal label. And everything was not as it seems. I read this interview that the band Velvet Cocoon did with Full Moon Productions back in 2004. And the main songwriter of the band, SGL, said, when asked about the origin of the band, said, the name originated back in 1996 when we formed the band. Velvet is one of the many names applied to the chemical dextromethorphan, and cocoon, C-A-C-O-O-N, are the initials of a catacomb just outside Portland city limits where we usually go to write music. Contrary to the popular misconception, it is not a misspelling of cocoon. So that was a statement that he said and they printed. But it turns out that all was not exactly as it seems. The band was actually formed in 2001 between two members, SGL, whose real name was Josh, and LVG Angela was a real name. They said that they had formed in 1996. That was a lie. They released Dextronaut in 2002. They said it had been released in 1998. Of course, another lie. It was preceded by a handful of ultra-rare demos. Not true. They did not release any of that. And their second album, Genevieve, included... They had claims about this album, including that the band had a third member, a drummer named SKV, who had fallen off a cliff and died. That was a lie. He didn't exist, and he didn't fall off a cliff and die because, well, he didn't exist. They said that their music was made with something called a diesel harp, that instrument you guys have all heard of, right?
It sounds like a moto grader, doesn't it?
Yeah, it very much does. Unlike the moto grader, which is very real, the diesel harp is not real. The band claimed that their shows were bacchanals of self-mutilation, drug use, and bloodletting. That's not true. It's not true. And that they were actually a member of a larger group of eco-terrorists. that is also a lie. But the best thing this band did was they put out a demo called How the Last Day Came and Stayed, Then Faded into Simulated Rain. It was stolen entirely from this artist called Korova's album, Shipwrecks and Russian Roulette. The Grove of the album had 10 tracks, and Velvet Cocoon only had 9, so they didn't steal all the tracks. They just ripped it straight from MySpace and released it as a demo.
Damn.
Yeah, so that rules. We've talked about doing this on the show before, about creating our own completely fake bullshit NSBM band. Just stealing music from some unknown black metal band and getting some knuckleheads to release it for us and basically making fun of them.
They really did it, yeah. It's not an original idea. There's also a band kind of like that called Thoth, which was clearly a joke. It's kind of reminiscent of that. Velvet Cocoon. I feel like their name would have been cool if it was like Velvet Cocoon. That just seems like a cool concept. They probably fucked it up. Cocoon. Did they release any original music? Like, was it all stolen or was it just the one?
They released some original music, but I mean, that's not as interesting to me as, because I listen and it's whatever. It's not nearly as interesting as just straight stealing someone's album from MySpace and calling it your own.
Yeah, that's really something.
Later, Josh, he put out a statement online. He deleted it later, so I'm not sure exactly where you can find it, but this is helpfully published by Stereo Gum, that he said, the band is a total fraud, we are utter bastards, and we have no respect for anything. And I respect that. I think that we are very much of the same cloth.
Right. Yeah. I think that they did it for the lulls.
Yeah, but it's possible that these guys spent a lot of time on 4chan as well.
Right. They probably didn't. I mean, they probably didn't hurt anybody in the process, except the people that they stole the music from, I guess.
Yeah, sort of, that was a Portland-based artist named Miranda Lemon. So they definitely fucked Miranda a little bit. So except for her, everything was funny, very, very funny.
Yeah. Bummer, Miranda. Sorry.
But yeah, Jordan, is this a good idea, bad idea?
I don't think you've ever had a bad idea. Let's go for it.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, specifically what I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure that we had no music at all, just a series of urban legends, band photos, people that could back up and say they have heard our music in the rare playings that we have in forests and things around our areas. And then we just go on these like stupid incel metal blogs and just have these really ridiculous interviews that they often have anyway.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And it's not hard to get people to claim that they've heard our music. I mean, say to some random metal nerd on the internet, like, yeah, you've heard Knocksmith Fuck Hard, right? Oh, of course, yeah. Duh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just not, you know, recently.
I bet you can't even name one Bofa album.
One of my proudest. Follow us on Twitter, by the way. But yeah, we'll get an interview set up with Bardo Methodology next week. It'll be great.
Sick.
Before we end this show, there's one more that we got to talk about. I think you fellas know what I'm talking about. We started this show with a round of ice cold chalky milk, and I think we ought to end it with another one. How about that?
Cheers. Sounds good. I'll crack her open.
You guys, you ever heard of Malevolent Creation? They're that racist Florida death metal band.
Yes.
Yeah.
the frontman of Malevolent Creation, Phil Fasciano, who is a lol factory made in human form. You can find him at free speech rallies, NRA rallies, probably Klan rallies if you look hard enough.
And he has a LinkedIn page.
Oh, perfect.
Where?
I will add him as a connection and endorse him for affiliate marketing skills. Back in 2009, is it all right if I just read his statement to you?
Go ahead, man. That's what we're here for.
I went into this little store on my way home to get a chocolate milk of all things, and little did I know, I was walking into a life or death situation. When I walked into the store, I did not notice anyone else in the store until someone started screaming at me and pointed a gun at me. I nearly shit myself because the dude looked whacked out of his mind and fired 4 shots directly at me. I went down on the ground because I thought I was surely shot. After about 30 seconds, I realized I was not hit at all, and the shooter thought I was dead or injured and started attacking the store owner when I snuck up behind the burglar and talked to him. And took the gun out of his hands and told him to get out of the store. He then reached into his sock and pulled out another gun and pointed at me. And that's when I fired 2 shots into his head. I killed him instantly. Never in my life has anything so twisted happened to me before. And I would like to forget that it ever happened, but I had no other choice. Lucky for me, the stupid crackhead burglar had the worst aim in the world and missed me with all 4 shots from about 10 feet away. Needless to say, all charges were dropped, and the store owner has offered me a lifetime of chocolate milk. I've been in some scary situations before, but having someone shoot at you from that close and miss is a fucking miracle, and I have no remorse for killing the assailant who tried to take my life and the store owner's. How about that? That's a pretty wild story.
Yeah. That's crazy. It has to be true. It's just that wild.
He immediately after making this statement, a lot of people expressed disbelief, if you can believe it or not. They thought that maybe it didn't actually happen. He doubled down on it. He reached out to the metal blog. He's like, yes, this actually happened. I tackled him, beat the shit out of him with the dude working there. He dropped the gun and I grabbed it. I had no intention of shooting him until he reached for another gun in his sneaker and looked at me. And before he got the chance to shoot at me again, that's when I shot him in the face 2 times and put an end to the whole nightmare. By no means am I a hero. I could have easily just ran out of the store like a pussy after realizing I was not shot, and left the store owner to get most likely killed. But I was so pissed, I just wanted to beat the fuck out of that loser who tried to end my life over nothing. In my situation may have done the same thing, but nobody knows when something like that could have happened to yourself or just how to react, just like me. So the doubling down, so it was pretty good. Fortunately, some enterprising journalists reached out to Detective Mark Shotwell of the Fort Lauderdale Police Department to get his statement on it. He said, Shotwell is quoted, "This did not happen. our last murder was on June 22nd, and Fasciano was not involved. I am certain of this. Even if the death was a result of a self-defense, it would still be classified as a homicide and investigated as such. All witnesses, reportees, victims, and suspects are entered into a database, but the most recent entry for Phil Fasciana is on April 1st, involving him and a female in a domestic dispute."
Let's put him on blast like that. I still can't get over this guy's last name, how he's a detective, and he's gone his whole life with the last name Shotwell.
He takes up
and
dogs.
And he ends up in this story.
And he's I have to add this because Shotwell nobody asked him to continue, but he did anyway. Detective Mark Shotwell says, "Homeless crackheads would trade a gun as soon as they got it, and I've never seen one with two guns." So there we go. That I don't know if we can ever get Phil Fasciano on the show. I got a lot of questions for him, but I want to know if he's still living by this story or not.
I want to know if he's still getting his lifetime supply of free chocolate milk.
Right. The way to get him on the show is to offer him a chocolate milk, and if he takes it, you know he's full of shit.
There you go.
Otherwise, he'd be good.
Why would you lie about this?
Why would you make up all of the things you made up? It's like, why – could you have just made yourself sound cool, like you were going in to get a beer or something?
The true origin of all of these urban legends we've been talking about is some stupid fucking child who is a compulsive liar and has told everybody that his uncle works at Nintendo, and if you dunk your Sonic the Hedgehog cartridge in a bucket of water, you can play it. You can play it in your Super Nintendo.
Right. It's like the same guy that tells you can make your palms smell like strawberries.
How do you do that?
Well, what I do is I just kind of rub my knuckle on your palm. And then it smells like strawberries. Next time I see you, I'll make it happen.
Oh, cool.
And then you just got to put your palm right up to your face and just make sure to get a good smell.
I'm looking forward to that. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, man, it's great.
So what I'm trying to say here is Phil Fasciana is the source of every single metal urban legend that we've talked about today.
I think that's fair.
I see no reason to not believe that.
Right.
Well... Before we call this one a day, I mentioned on our last episode that I did something new for the fellas out there. If you want to hit them digits, you can call us up, you can leave us a message, and we're going to play it on the show. All you have to do is call 903-884-6533. Again, that phone number, write it down, 903-884-6533, and just leave us a little message, whatever you want to tell us. And we're going to play it on the show. We've got a message today from our very good friend, Detective Shotwell. No, sorry, Detective Jimmy. Yes, Detective Jimmy McNulty. He's got something he wants to say. So we're gonna do that and play out, and then we're gonna play some music. What say you, fellas? Has this been a good show?
That's been a damn good show.
I've never been more proud of anything in my life.
This has been the Toilet Hell Radio Show. We'll see you next week. Be good.
Hey, what up, Hell's Toilet podcasters? This is Jimmy McNulty, and I am calling to give a little free publicity to my boy Richter. He's got a new book called Niall's Retina, and it's really good. So everyone go pick that up. You can get it on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace for your Amazon e-reader. I think Apple has it on the iTunes bookstore. You can get it for your Apple iReader pad, and or go to the Zune Marketplace for all those who want to read it on a Microsoft Surface, I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Niall's written a ISBN number, 978-0-692-05259-4. Go buy it. See ya.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.